Amen and amen. I've been born again. How about you? Spirit of the Lord is doing something in the church of Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of prophetic days and last days, and most people are emphasizing the nations of the world and what's taking place in those nations, and the earthquakes and the wars and the preparation for the Antichrist to come and the mark of the beast and all the world church that is forming. And that seems to be the prophetic emphasis more than anything else. But what's being neglected in the teaching of Bible prophecy of signs, not in the world, in the political system, in the culture, but signs in the church. The Bible is very clear that there would be definite signs in the church that we are in the last days. The Bible said of the day that when Antichrist comes and manifests himself, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That is a definitive sign to the church. Can you say amen? So we're in the midst of that day. When Jesus Christ's coming is near, and therefore the manifestation of the Antichrist has to be equally near. We're in the day of a falling away. If you don't believe it, look what church conclaves that are assembling and changing the Bible to fit the morals and the mores of a fallen world. And things that God called an abomination is now not only accepted but embraced by many church denominations. And the church is beginning to go the way of the world system and structure around us. And church leaders are no longer defending the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've got people in leadership in whole denominations that are practicing sins which God said would damn the human soul. Can you say amen? And you have to literally tear those portions out of the Bible to make it acceptable. We're looking for a religion that fits a fallen world, and the Christian faith will never fit a fallen world. Amen. It lifts us up and calls us to separation and calls us to live a distinctly different life in the way that we live it. Can you say amen? So I want to just talk about this call to Christian dedication, because it needs to be sounded clearer now than it's ever been sounded. Can you say amen? Listen to this. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. The Bible said this: knowing the last days perilous times would come, men will become lovers of their own selves. And all the litany of sins are out of that self-love that is not only being promoted and propagated, but being embraced again by many churches and church leaders. Self-indulgence is why many people come to church on Sunday morning, to see what God may do for them in the material sense. And I'm gonna be straight up honest with you this morning. I need material blessing. I like air conditioning. I'm spoiled. Amen. When I get out of my car to come to the church on these humid days, I can't wait to get in here. It's like my breathing just isn't good out there. How did we make it before we got air conditioning? I don't know how we made it. Amen. Maybe we were younger then. You think that have something to do with it? I don't know. I've met a lot of young people that they don't like it either. Hey, listen, I like a microwave. I really do. I mean, I don't want to wait 45 minutes for my tater to cook. Amen. I want that bad boy now, because I done got everything else ready. I want that potato, and I want it now. Praise God. I like the conveniences. It's nice to have it. But let's get down to the fundamentals, amen, to the nuts and bolts of it. I really love electricity. Amen. I'm from the mountains, and when we went back the first time to the old home place, I noticed something happened along the way. Electric wires. We ran past the electric wires. We went out to where they had not yet. We went so back far in the mountains that there was no electric wire. And I thought, how do those people live without electricity back in there? These were my great grandmother's brother that lived back in there. Uncle Alan Estep, they called him. Alan Estep. Anyway, he lived way back in. But they had a farm. There was a spring where they had their milk and stuff sitting down in that spring that was near there. Amen. And they had what they call a dairy, and it's a place you stay. They had stuff canned and preserved that you didn't have to refrigerate. They had their meat salted. That ham was salted. You go cut it off in the morning and cook it. They used salt to preserve the ham. And I mean, they were living off the land and living well. I had never sat down. See, we come from a family. We didn't sit down to having three meats at a meal. I remember one time going to my grandmother's house, and my uncle, one of my uncles, had shot a deer up in the old Cali Forest and shared the meat with us. And I remember my other uncle, he was going through hard times. He'd come to visit, come to our house to eat with my grandmother and my dad and all of us, because we were going to get that meat. It was meat night. I mean, you know, this is not bologna night. This is meat. And I run out and I told him. I said, Uncle Shorty. We called him Uncle Shorty because he was short. I said, Uncle Shorty, hey man, we got deer meat tonight. He said, if you get any meat around here, it'll be deer meat. He was talking about D-E-A-R, not D-E-E-R. Can you say? He was going through some tough times. Amen. But I like, you know, we need the material blessing. Don't get me wrong. We need the material blessing to bless the work of God. We need the material blessing to be able to send missionaries. Amen. We don't ever want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. God, I believe, wants to bless us. He wants to prosper us. But He wants to do it in distinct order. He wants to do it as our soul prospers. Can you say amen? This is actually a greeting from the Apostle Paul. I wish above all things that you prosper, Brother Taylor, and that you be in good health. Amen. Amen. I want you blessed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want you to prosper. Amen. As your soul prospers, in direct relation to spiritual maturity. Because it's, you see, God brought them out of Egypt with gold and silver. Say gold and silver. Gold. See, it's not the gold and silver in and of itself. It's the love. It's when we set our affection on it. Amen. It's when we push everything aside to achieve it. It's not when we have something. It's when something has us that it becomes so dangerous to us. So He said, I want to bless you in direct proportion to your spiritual maturity. Because when you mature spiritually, something happens called contentment. Amen. He hath said, this is to the mature Christian, He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that we might boldly say, Hebrews 13, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. Can you say amen? Amen. And the mature Christian says, I've got Jesus. And when you have Jesus, you have everything you need to be fulfilled in life. Amen. It's not about the kind of car you drive anymore. No, it isn't. I'd like to have one that will crank up and get me there. How many appreciate one that will crank you up and get you there? Praise God. So we're not in a, listen, there's a rat race out there to compete with everybody else and compete and compare. You know what I'm saying? I like what the comedian lady said. I forget her name. She's the one that. No, she's not a Christian comedian per se, but I like what she said. She said, "Remember, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat." Can you say amen? And there's no doubt about it. You can get to the top as far as this world's values are, but you're still empty. You're still unfulfilled. You're still looking for that right person. You're looking for that new experience. You're looking for something to fulfill. But the mature Christian finds all of that in Jesus Christ. And having food and raiment and Jesus and the kingdom of God and our names written in the Lamb's book of life and the promise that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and knowing that heaven is going to be our home throughout all eternity. Amen. Be content, for godliness with contentment is great grain. I asked the Lord to bless you. I got grain on my mind. Hallelujah. Great gain. Praise God. Great gain. Everybody say great. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Honor the Lord with the first fruit of all of thine increase, so shall thy barns, say great grain. Hallelujah. Be filled with fatness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We'll work it in somehow and make it work. Hallelujah. It's great gain. It's great gain to grow in the Lord and find contentment in Christ and to know that His kingdom is not like the kingdoms of this world. And there's a paradigm shift, amen, when we come to Jesus Christ, because old things pass away and everything becomes new. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And we quit looking for something to fulfill us. Hallelujah. Because we found what is so fulfilling and what the world is searching for. Can you say amen? Through sin and selfishness, we found it all in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A mature Christian feels very rich today. Regardless of the grain. Listen to a mature faith. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, though there be no fruit upon the vine, no cattle in the stalls. There was corrective judgments in the land. Amen. But God was going to bring them back, and God was bringing them back to Himself. But believe me, when there was under a financial judgment, God got their attention.
Amen.
Amen. They began to think about it. Remember the young man, the prodigal son? Until he came to want, he never came to himself.
Amen.
And I'm afraid America is having to come to want before she will come to herself. But when he came to himself, he said, I'm going back. Amen. And that's why it was a corrective judgment, because it wasn't to destroy him with famine. It was to bring him home so God could restore the blessing.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And when he decided to come home, he said, I'll go back to my father's house. Amen. As long as he had money, he had friends. But guess what? When the money ran out, he looked around and they were all gone. Not only that, but he didn't even have enough to eat. And he told a man, may I for free feed your hogs for you? Because he figured, maybe I can eat some of the husk that I'm giving to these swine. Now that's when you've hit bottom, friend. Amen. And when he hit bottom, amen, he said, you know what? The servants in my father's house eat better than this. Amen. That is the best life. Praise God. See, maturing in the Lord makes you realize the world doesn't have your answer. Jesus has your answer. Can you say amen? Nothing you can acquire can fulfill that deep longing, but Christ can, and He will, when you put Him first in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When you put Him first in your life. Praise the Lord. So he said, I'm going to go back to my father's house. I'm not even worthy to be a son. But if I could just serve him, amen, just be one of the servants, I'd rather be out there living with the servants near my father and have a roof over my head. And I'm not asking him to treat me like he ever did before. I'm not asking for sonship. I'm just asking to go home and be close to my dad and my family and people who really love me and really care about me. Can you say amen? But see, God will not receive you back and leave you less than He wants you to be. Praise God. When God forgives, He forgives completely. When God restores, He restores completely. Can you say amen? This is the nature of grace. Praise God. Did that guy deserve what he got? No. Do you deserve what you got from God? Forgiveness? Your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Absolutely not. It is a work of grace. Hallelujah. It's not fair. I'm so glad God isn't fair. If God played fair, amen, we would get justice instead of mercy. You heard the story. My cousin was a photographer with Olin Mills for years, there's a lady in town that wanted to have her picture taken. She was a lady that never married and never came out of the house, never fixed herself up, but she decided for posterity, there were some distant relatives, she would have a Olin Mills portrait made. And so the man went out to her house to do it. She contracted the photographer personally to make portraits of her. And she would pick the one that was to be in the big frame to hang in the foyer and the ones to send to the distant relatives. And she got in her very best, but she just wasn't a very, I don't want to say she was ugly because that would be ugly to say, but she just wasn't pretty. You know, she just wasn't very pretty. She was pretty ugly. Well, I didn't say that, so. She's just homely. She's just a homely girl. Amen. And she did the best she could, but she just couldn't, you know, look any better than she looked. And so he took all the pictures, tried to show her in the best light. He got all those pictures done. You know how they do, and then they bring you all these pictures, and you pick the ones you want. She looked through all of them. She couldn't find one that thought she made her pretty enough. And she looked and she looked and she looked. And here's this guy who went to all this trouble, all of this expense. He expects you to buy something now from him. Amen. And she says, none of these pictures. I'm sorry. I don't want any of these pictures. He said, well, ma'am, can I ask why? Because they were all done by a professional photographer. And he tried to show her in the best light. She said, none of these pictures do me justice. And he said, lady, justice is not what you need. You need mercy. Can you say that? You need mercy. Justice is not what we need. We need mercy. And if it wasn't for the mercies of the Lord, none of us could stand on that holy soil. But because of His mercies, we're going to walk on streets of gold. And we're going to be welcomed into the presence of God. And angels are going to have to stand there dumbfounded. Oh, they won't be able to sing a particular peculiar song with us. Angels are singing day and night up there to a thrice holy God. But when we break into song, it will be a particular peculiar song. It will be the song of the redeemed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And when the redeemed begin to sing about redemptive love and what His blood has done for us, angels will have to back off. They haven't been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Oh, they've been created in a holy state and they stayed with God and stayed in that state. We fell. Can you say amen? And God has delivered us from the fall through the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So it's supposed to change things. Let me read out of 1 Peter real quick. I'm going to have to do this very quickly. This is the call to dedication, and this is why we should find in the Lord what we need so we don't court the world and its culture and its morals and its offer, its tantalizing offer. This will please you. This will fulfill you. This will satisfy you. This is a clear, clarion call to find what we need in Jesus and to commit to Him and to dedicate our life to Him. Listen to 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, when we use this word, we're not just talking about your words. We're talking about your behavior. We're talking about your lifestyle. We're talking about your values. We're talking about what you live, the standards by which you live as a Christian. For it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The Bible said that we are a chosen generation. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. Hallelujah. That we might show forth the praises of Him. That's not worship in a worship service. The actual Greek word is the virtues of Him. That we might represent Him in such a way that the world can see Christ in us. Not our perfection, but His perfection, His glory, His grace, His love, His character of kindness and forgiveness should be reigning in us. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, which is the replicating of Christ's character in us. Until we love like He loves, we're not bearing the fruit of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Until we manifest His peace, we're not representative of this man of peace. until we have the joy in our life that Jesus had in his heart for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everybody say, for the joy that was set before him. The temperance, the goodness, the meekness, the kindness. It's the replication of the character of Christ within us. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me carefully. Amen. We're not where where God wants to bring us. He's predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust and your ignorance, but following peace with all men. And the scripture said holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It's almost a bad word. People think that's legalism or self-righteousness. It isn't. It is the common state for the new born man or woman. That word holiness doesn't mean sinlessly perfect. It means that we have been sanctified. And it's the state we're left in when we are sanctified. And the Bible said the Lord God sanctify you, which means to cleanse and set apart for a holy purpose. Can you say amen? Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, spirit, soul, and body. And that leaves you H-O-L-Y. Can you say amen? When he can sanctify spirit, soul, and body, he can cause us to be a holy nation. A people that are different, diametrically different than the people of the world around us. And that doesn't make you self-righteous, but it makes you conscious of the fact that you serve a different king. Amen. You bow to a different master. Glory. Can you say, man, that your flesh does not rule you? Amen. You rule it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Paul said, I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection. Can you say, man, most Christians are going to buffet their body in just about 15 minutes. They're looking at their watch because the Golden Corral, amen, doesn't have a long line right now. And the Baptists are going to race the Methodists to the Golden Corral. You'll have to wait till they're done. Can you say, man, listen to me. I buffet my body and I bring it into subjection. Let not sin reign. Be the reigning element in your mortal body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. Amen? So God wants us to be different from the world about us. And I just wrote this down and I like it so good I'm going to quote myself today. The Christian life is a positive allegiance to Jesus Christ. Dale, I'll never forget the song that you sang here. First time I heard it, you sung it. I heard other people do it where it came from, but first time I heard it, you did it. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Can you say amen? The Christian life is a positive allegiance to Jesus. It's becoming so occupied with him that the values and standards of the world around us have little or no influence on us anymore. The missing element in many Christian lives is simply the Lordship of Jesus. It's who our master is going to be. The challenge of this portion of Scripture is to give evidence of our salvation by demonstrating a changed life. Yeah. See, the changed life is not salvation by works. It's salvation by grace, verified by works. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. The next verse says, but we are created unto good works. Can you say amen? If any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creation. Old things are what? What has changed? His values changed. He doesn't have a world view anymore. Praise God. He looks at things through a different lens and he sees things differently. Hallelujah. First, the bad news. Here's a pretty recent Gallup poll. He found that the majority of Americans say religion is very important to them. 7 out of 10 Americans are church members. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? 2/3 of Americans hold the view that the level of ethics in America has declined during the last decade. I'll say. Amen. There's a seeming paradox between the loss of ethics and the increase in church interest. It's amazing that people can be so interested in church. Yeah. And not care about morals and ethics. What's right, what's wrong. Very little difference is found in the behavior of the churched and the unchurched on a wide range of items, including lying. Shouldn't be. We should be, listen, cheating and pilferage. There are wide differences found in behavior of the highly spiritual committed. Now here's the difference. There are some people living different, but they're not your normal, everyday, go-to-church Christian. They are the highly spiritually committed. Everybody say the highly spiritually committed. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He will accept nothing less from us than being highly spiritually committed. If any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and come and follow me. Can you say, man, that means living a life of obedience to the Lord and make sure we understand. Oh, I didn't say it was going to be easy. That's why you deny yourself and take up a cross in order to do it. The flesh has to be crucified. But it's worth saying no to sin and to self to have His blessing, His joy, His peace, His power, His presence manifest. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Sin can't give you what only Christ can give. And by the way, I'm looking at an audience this morning and you're about to give yourself away. I catch you in those unguarded moments and I just don't see the joy. You say, Brother Venable, it's in my heart. Well, if it's in your heart, it ought to start working out into your life at some point. But I'm going to tell you what makes people miserable. You know what makes them miserable? When they straddle the fence. When they know what God has called them to. Know that we're to be a peculiar people. A separated unto God people. And we don't make the commitment so that it can be lived out in our life. Hallelujah. I'd rather have Jesus, Brother Taylor, than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than own riches untold. Hallelujah. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands, just to know that I'm held and led by His nail-pierced hands, than to be a king of a vast domain and to be held in sin's dread sway. There's a freedom that comes. This is how it feels to be free. Hallelujah. Amen. When you'd rather have Jesus, push come to shove, you always choose Christ and His kingdom over the kingdoms of this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's joy in this. Oh, but let's talk about these people, because I'm one of them and I want to stay one of them. There's a wide range of difference in the highly spiritually committed compared with those of less spiritual commitment. The committed show a much higher level of moral conduct. Using the various means of study, only 10 to 12% of the population are what Gallup calls highly spiritually committed. The report indicates they're a breed apart from the rest of the populace. Not self-righteous, but highly spiritually committed. They're more satisfied with life. Didn't I tell you godliness with contentment is to true riches? They're more satisfied with life. Hallelujah. Listen to the. They're more satisfied with life. Their ethical behavior. Oh, wait a minute. Let me finish that. They're more satisfied with life. Happier. Happy is the man that has the Lord God of Jacob for his help. Yeah. Happiness can't be based on happenings, or nobody would ever be happy in this fallen world. But happiness is based on knowing no matter what happens, God has made a commitment to never leave you nor forsake you, to go with you even to the end of the age. Can you say amen? And that makes you happy. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord.
That's right.
Can you say amen? You know what Psalm 4 said? He has made me. This is someone that's highly committed to God. He has made me glad more than in the time that their corn and wine did increase. When the world is blessed materially, they show it. I saw a bumper sticker the other day said, anybody who thinks money won't make you happy don't know where to shop. I saw another little sign the other day and it said, I know money won't make you happy, but I've been poor and unhappy and rich and unhappy, and rich is better. But he may have a little bit of a point there. I'd just rather be happy and not have to worry about the rich or poor thing. Can you say amen? Happy is is the man who has what? Who has happenings always positive in his life. No, happy is the man who has God's commitment to help him no matter what happens. Happy is the man that has the Lord God of Jacob for his help. For he said, Paul said, he said, I'll never leave you. Hallelujah. That we might say the Lord is my helper. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if the Lord is your helper, amen, and you have food and raiment and Christ's commitment, therewith be content. Don't be like the discontented world about you. Be content with such things as you have, for he said, I'll never leave you. You've got God to help you. That means the meal barrel can go down to the bottom, but it just won't go empty. Because God is helping you. Can you say amen? Give him a praise today. I'd rather have a meal barrel right down to the bottom. Blessed of the Lord.
Yes,
hallelujah. Than to have one full. Because a lot of people in the stock market had their meal barrels full without God's help, with their own ingenuity. But guess what happened when it fell? Banks right now are repossessing houses that are not even worth 2/3 of what they were bought, they were financed for. And they're going to take the heat and take the loss. We're living in a troubled time. But mature Christians, amen, see this, amen, as a prodigal son nation that is coming to walk, praying for the great turnaround that God wants to bring to many people in America. Can you say amen? I believe there are people in America that are going to come back not just to church. They're going to come back to God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Yes, I believe that, because I believe that God answers prayer. And I believe that God is the author of revival. And I believe God is a God of restoration. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I believe in the former and the latter rain to make up for the drought. I believe in the God that said, call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, it won't make any difference. America's too far gone. Where sin doth abound, his grace doth much more abound. Can you say amen? If you want to hear a fatalistic, give up, let them go to hell message, you're in the wrong church today. Jesus came to seek. Jesus came to save. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Oh! There's a remnant here. When God sent judgments in the land, they were so severe and strong, the backsliding was so pronounced. The Bible said, unless there had been left unto us a very small remnant. A very small remnant. Oh, a little leaven in the positive sense. Leaveneth the whole lump. A very small. Oh, you can turn that into a positive. And here it is in the old covenant. Unless there had been left unto us a very small remnant. We had become like Sodom and Gomorrah. God would have turned us into ashes, turned us into dust with his judgments. But because of a little righteous remnant, say it with me, a righteous remnant, Brother Taylor. Hey man, somebody is interceding. Somebody is praying. Somebody is salt. Somebody is light. Somebody is preserving. Can you say amen? And God said, I was looking for that. I was looking for a man among them. Amen. To stand in the gap and make up the hedge. When I could find no man to do that, I was obligated by my holiness and justice to send judgment in the land. But before I sent my judgment, I looked for an intercessor that would stand in the gap, that would make up the hedge. They don't like us. They don't love us. They don't even like us. In fact, most of the world hates us. But they don't know what we are to this world. They think we're a thorn in their side, that we're causing their conscience to be pricked, that we're somehow shaming them for their sin by living right and holding a righteous standard. Honey, we're the salt of this old earth. And they think it's bad now. Just wait till he comes. Amen. And takes us out of here. They ain't seen nothing like what's in store for this old world. But until he takes him that leadeth away, that man of sin can't come and do his thing. Because we're here. We are here. There's a remnant here. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. And we're part of that remnant. Hallelujah. You know, and I got to hurry and quit, but you know, old Elijah is in a cave after seeing God move, because he knew that Jezebel meant what she said and said what she meant, and she had awesome power because the king was a puppet to her. She was the real one controlling Israel. Can you say, man? Listen to me. She said, you know, she said, I've heard about you talking to your God and fire coming and all that nonsense. I don't care what fire comes. I don't care what God you're talking to. You're going to die. I'm going to see to it that you are killed. And he shifted from the power of God. He saw fire fall. But when he got, listen, Jezebel had influence in that. When he read that letter, fear gripped his heart. He ran for cover. He ran into a cave, got way back in that cave, and wondered why in the world God didn't speak to him. He listened for God in various things, and God wasn't in none of those things. And he's in there. Now he's becoming emaciated. The man is now starving to death spiritually and physically in that cave of discouragement and fear. Amen. And when the Lord does show up, he speaks to him in a still, small voice, but he speaks to him very, very firmly. Because instead of saying, oh, my poor baby, oh, and Jezebel after you, what are we going to do? They wanted to kill all my best prophets, and I guess they're going to kill you too. Oh, well, I'm going to take you to heaven. Just bear up. No, he said, what are you doing here? God said, what are you doing here? I'm going to tell you something about growing up in God. I don't get coddled like I used to when I first got saved.
That's right.
When I get in that cave, and I go there sometimes. When I get in that cave of the poor old me's and discouragement, you know what the Lord says? What are you doing here?
No better than that.
Yeah, I know better. I do know better. I was going to go to Brother Spain and minister at Brother Spain's church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where the tornado came through. Amen. I didn't go because the door didn't swing wide at the time. I was still working the job and things. I actually couldn't. Logistics and time wouldn't allow me to. But I was going to speak to his church Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Monday, my last day in Tuscaloosa, he was going to bring pastors from the area that he knew and let me minister to ministers. And I thought, that's going to be something. I was even beginning to pray about a message. And I thought about that cave. I believe everybody's been there. I don't believe there's a preacher in a pulpit, a prophet. I don't believe there's an apostle or a Christian that hasn't been in that cave of discouragement at some point in time. Amen? Because we're human beings. Human beings. There's no place of faith where you never get into that cave. Amen? Even after seeing the fire fall, you can still find yourself discouraged.
Yes.
Amen. And I remember, anybody remember, I don't know if you remember World War I, World War II, back in those days. People would go places way out in the middle of nowhere, climb a mountain and look up there, and on a rock, it would say Kilroy was here. I don't know who Kilroy, I tried to run it out on the computer, but there would usually be a kind of a big old nose and a couple of eyes underneath say Kilroy was here. In other words, somebody was here before you was here. And we've all been there. I believe in the cave that Elijah was in. There are etchings all over the walls if you look at that cave as a cave of discouragement. And I believe your name is in there. I believe Dale was there. I believe Sean was there. I believe Pamela was there. There may be somebody in here that's still in there. Can you say? We will work on you, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. What are you doing there? What are you doing there? I believe Billy Graham's name's in there. I believe he's been in a place of discouragement. I believe every preacher has been there. Every creature of God has been there. David said, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from the horrible pit, lifting my feet out of the miry clay. Can you say, man, when my heart, not if, but when it happens, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The Lord has been a shelter for me and a refuge from my enemies. Can you say, man, when it happens, it will happen. But when it happens, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Can you say, man? But the deal is, Dale was there. Robert was there. Elijah was there. Peter was there. But he didn't stay there. And when he came out of there, he came out stronger than when he went in there. Because he experienced God's help, God's grace, God's mercy, God's power, God's deliverance, God's meal from angels that sustained him for 40 days. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? God said, I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to strengthen you. But the first thing he did was encourage him. Hearing the audible voice of God didn't encourage him. It was what God told him. Because when you get in that cave, you think you're the only one. And somehow you're unique and being mistreated. You were jealous for God and got it in the neck. You know what God told him? He said, well, listen to what he told God. He said, I'm the only prophet left in Israel jealous for you. And they're going to kill me for standing up for you. And God said, I have 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. You may think that you're the only one, but believe me, you are not. God has a righteous remnant. Can you say that? Glory be to God. Highly spiritually committed. Glory to God. Amen. God has a people that will receive the message of holiness and not balk at it. God has a people that will embrace the cross and not throw it down and pass it by. God has a people that will live a devoted life because they love Him supremely. God still has a people. Amen. Hallelujah. And because of that righteous remnant, this whole world's still spinning on its axis. And the Antichrist cannot manifest until he that let the Holy Spirit vested in the church and the authority of the church's intercession. Praise God. He can't reign on this earth until something is removed that holds him back.
Amen.
Now we know God and the Holy Spirit have the authority, but that authority has been vested in us. Behold, I give you power over all of the power of the enemy. Can you say amen? He can control people that let him, but he can't control this planet until he that letteth is removed out of the way. Oh! No wonder Satan fights the church. And no wonder there's such compromise in the church. You know what church means? It's not a denominational tag. It's not some affiliation or organization. Church in Scripture is the Greek word ecclesia. And it means the called out ones. Called out of what? Come out from among them. The unsaved world. It doesn't mean not to affiliate, not associate. It means to live diametrically different. Let your values represent a different kingdom. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. Can you say amen? And I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. And I will not be ashamed to call you my people. And you will not be ashamed to call me your God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'll father you. I'll protect you. I'll provide for you. I'll cherish you. I'll care for you. I'll defend you. Hallelujah. That's the call to the breed apart. I still have 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And this man rose up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Walked outside of that cave with courage in his heart. And God saw his emaciated body. And he sent an angel with food from heaven. Everybody say food from heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The angel fed him a meal. He ate of that meal that God specially prepared for him. That's called restoring your soul. Can you say amen? Oh, God's a restorer. Make no mistake about it. Hallelujah. He can, even discouragement might have brought him to that place, but God could fix it. Everybody say, God is a fix-it man. God can fix it. And he can do it supernaturally. You don't have to go to five guys.
That's right.
And order four bags of them fries that drip through the bag before they get to your table. But ain't they good? I don't know what God prepared, but I don't think greasy French fries was in that bag. They wouldn't strengthen you for 5 days. I mean, for 40 days. He went on the strength of that meal 40 days. See, God is able, when God restores, he's able to give the former and the latter rain in a season. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's able to undo years with one productive year, undo years of total devastation by locust and cankerworm and the caterpillar hath eaten. I'll restore unto you the years. Can you say amen? And I'll do it in one harvest season, praise God. I'll give you a harvest that'll make up for years of no harvest. You don't have to spend years to get the years back. I will send you the farmer and the latter rain in one season. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come back to me. I'll come back to you, and it won't take years to get it back. I'll restore it back in a season of blessing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! He outrun a horse. This guy, amen, that was this guy, Elijah, has seen the judgments in the land. He's seen it. He's seen the 3 years of absolute drought in an agriculturally driven economy. People are starving. Amen. But God's going to restore the blessing. He sends his servant after praying. He prayed that God shut it up so they'd come back to God. When they came back, he prayed God opened it up again. See, a prophet will pray both ways. He'll pray, God, get their attention. Bring them to want so you can bring them to the house. Can you say amen? And then when you get to the house, he'll pray, God, bless them and give them everything back. When the prodigal son got home, he couldn't be a servant. Father saw him coming a long way off and didn't make him come all the way by himself. He ran to him. Only one time in Scripture when God ever ran. But he ran to embrace the prodigal. Can you say amen? And the first thing he gave him wasn't a gold ring or a fatted calf. First thing he gave him was acceptance and love. Had he needed more than anything material, he fell upon him and kissed him. Hallelujah. Woo! I said he fell upon him and he kissed him. You talk about a melted heart now. This guy ain't going to be a servant out in the barn. Amen. He's getting his sonship back and all the privileges with it. Praise God. Put a ring on his finger. It wasn't just the gold. Family signet. When you take a document and it had the family seal on it, and this is a businessman. It was like the power of attorney of that father. Amen. It was like a notary public seal. Can you say, man, when he took that wax and put on a document, amen, and then stuck that ring on it and left the family crest on it, a seal, something to indicate that family. Put that ring back on his. He's getting his authority back. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Put shoes on his feet. Amen. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Get his testimony back. He lost his testimony, but he's got another testimony now of the God of mercy, the God of grace, the God of restoration. Can you say amen? Put a robe on him. His is filthy. Take that filthy robe off and put that righteous robe on him. Hallelujah. Amen. This is my son that was lost, and let's celebrate the restoring power of God and the grace of God. Kill the fatted calf. Of course, the self-righteous son that never left didn't see it that way. He felt like he'd been given a bad. I've been here all this time. Nobody celebrated me. He needed an attitude correction. See, when the church don't rejoice when people repent, something's wrong. Bad, wrong. We should rejoice when people repent. You know why? Because there's joy in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. Amen. Honey, we ought to join them every time it happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let me hurry and finish here. Elijah, amen. He sent his servant. He said, go look and see what you see. I'm praying for the restored blessing. His servant goes out, looks at the horizon, said, I don't see a thing. This is persistence in prayer, knowing the will of God and continuing to persevere. He comes back, he sends him again. He sends him again, and he sends him again, and he sends him again. How many times do you think he would have sent him? He'd have sent him till he saw something. Sent him till he saw something. I said, sent him till he saw something. Oh, by the way, before he even sent him to see if he even saw something, he said he felt something. Not after he saw something, but before he even sent him to see if he saw anything, he felt something. You know what he felt? He felt after 3 years of drought with not a cloud in the sky, he made a faith statement because God was leading him to pray. And if God's leading him to pray, God's getting ready to move, even though it doesn't look like there's any hope. He said, I feel the abundance. Wait for it. Get ready, brother. Here it comes on this microphone. Praise God. I feel. I feel the abundance of rain. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, but I feel something here this morning. Amen. I feel like the latter rain is showing up in people and congregation that are keeping their focus on God and not the distractions. We're not looking at what the devil's doing. We're looking at what God is doing. We're not listening to what the devil says, but what God has said. And God has given us a promise in His Word that if a righteous remnant intercedes, He'll hear from heaven and things are going to happen. Hallelujah. In our homes, in our nation. Wow. So I feel you better go look again. Last time he looked, was it sixth or seventh? Seventh is God's perfect number. Seven times, but when he come back the seventh time, he didn't know whether this was even worth reporting. He said, I see a little cloud formation.
Yes.
Looked like a man's hand. No, it wasn't a man's hand. It was God's hand of blessing extended again to the nation. He said, well, you better go hitch up the horse and go tell the king to get everybody and all the cattle out of the low ground. But it's coming. This thing is coming. Praise God. God is going to restore the blessing. The rain is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty rain is coming. Praise God. Amen. This man that was there at one point in his life, he said, this news is too good to just send a servant to tell. I want to tell it myself. So he tore off running. I'm going to tell you something. God's Spirit came on him. How do you know? Because this brother said it right here. Brought my attention to it. That's why I'm going down this road. He's helping me preach today. Can you say amen? Here's a guy running full out on a horse to warn him to get out of the low ground. And his old prophet, under the anointing. Amen. He came running. He saw dust. Everybody say the Tasmanian devil. Now, not that he was a devil, but cartoon. You've seen the dust cloud from him. Amen. Oh, no, better than that. How about the road run? Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
I can just hear that old prophet saying beep, beep as he passed that horse. Can you say? Hallelujah. Here's a man out running the horse. Why is he doing that? Because he felt something. He prayed something. And now he saw something. Amen. And that's all he needed to get set on fire and super anointed to bring a message. Amen. Of victory and revival. He waited 3 years to tell him something good's going to happen. I see people listening to the naysayers and the fatalists and they're America's going to hell in a handbasket, good enough for them. Well, what do you think is going to happen to you and yours?
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
We'll suffer with them. I'd rather see revival personally.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Prophet went down into Babylon with the rest of those jaybirds. Can you say, man? Had to tough it out until the time of restoration came. That's right. God's rain, positive, negative, falls on the just and the unjust. Listen, this nation don't turn around, we're all going to feel it. If this nation turns around, we're all going to feel it.
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want to see a turnaround in homes. I want to see a turnaround in lives. I want to see a turnaround in pulpits, a turnaround in churches. I want to see a turnaround in politics. I want to see a turnaround everywhere that the Holy Spirit is at work. I want to see change come.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We can't stay in those caves and have these mighty changes come. We've got to come out of them. And God has supernatural blessings, supernatural strength, supernatural refreshings for those who will look to Him and listen to His voice and recognize we're part of that remnant of people who are highly spiritually committed. Can you say amen? We march to the beat of a different drummer. And I've got to hurry and close because time is way past where I intended to stop. But I feel the abundance of rain. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe God is going to do some things that is going to stagger us. I told Sean something the other day. I said, I'm just crazy enough to believe that mighty things can happen. I'm never going to give up on that because mighty things will never happen if we don't concur with God that the things that are impossible to man have no effect on Him unless we let it through our lack of faith in Him. The things that are impossible with men are what? Possible with God. Ah, Lord God. Let me close with that. Ah, Jeremiah. He starts out with ah. If I'm going to make a statement like this, I'm going to stand in awe of Him. Ah, Lord God. Not just Lord God, very prim and precise, but ah. It starts out with A-H. Ah, Lord God. Thou hast made the heavens and the earth. With thine outstretched hand, I see a cloud like a hand. Tell me about it. Can you say amen? Amen. When this God stretches forth His hand, and I will uphold you with the right hand. That hand that stretched out heaven and earth is holding you and me right now.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Of my righteousness. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And those that my Father hath given me, no man shall pluck them out of this big old hand. For the Father which giveth in me, He's greater than them all the forces of hell and the devil's minions. If you don't turn back, He can never turn you back. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise in here. I said give God praise up in here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No man. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Did I give you one? Okay, I have now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I feel the abundance of rain. And I don't feel it in my emotions. Because my emotions go up and down with the circumstances of life, just like yours. I have good days. And I have bad days. But I'm supposed to rejoice in Him every day. Can't rejoice in what just happened if it's the devil trying to do damage. But I can rejoice in the God who said I'm equal to whatever happens if you'll put your trust in me. Can you say amen? I stand ready to deliver. The more the enemy does, the more notches I'm able to put to destroy, the more notches I'm able to carve on my Bible. If I notch my Bible for every time he tried and failed and we won the victory, my Bible would be falling apart. It would shred it after a while. The Lord has come through so many times.
Amen.
Everybody say Psalm 124, 1 and 2. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, our enemies would have swallowed us up quickly. If it wasn't for Christ's intercession, Satan would have sifted us as the wheat. But he interceded by hanging on that cross. He ever lives to stand and show those scars in the presence of God in our behalf. Amen. Let the weak say, because of him, I am strong in the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let the poor say, according to the material world value system, I am rich. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Amen. And He'll provide what I need for each day. Give us this day our daily bread. Praise God. Amen. I've never went to bed hungry since I met the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I got awful hungry before I met Him. Trying to do things in my strength and serve Satan. He was a hard taskmaster. But God has come through again and again and again and again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't want to preach anymore. If I do, I'll preach a whole lot more. And we've said enough. If we get a hold of this today, we're going to leave here with victory. Can you say amen? The things that are impossible with men is possible with God. Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth with Thine outstretched hand. There is nothing too hard for Thee. Praise God. I want to see these things happen that we feel is just seemingly impossible, but we know God is a God of the impossible. I'm going to see some of these mighty things come to pass. I'm going to see this restoration come to pass. Can you see anybody got anything that you need Him to restore to you? Amen. The years, the tears. Yes. God is a yes. God that restores. When we come back to Him, He comes back to us. And He comes with all the blessings, all the benefits. Actually, when they came up out of Babylon, He said, I'm going to restore your fortunes to you. Everything that sin cost you, God is going to lavish it on you and give it back many fold. Can you say amen? God is such a good God. Aren't you glad He's that kind of God today? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Well, let's bless His name. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Now, as we get ready to have this song in closing, how many people in here want to be part of the highly spiritually committed? Raise your hand. Let's see it today. You don't want to be part of the fallen away or part of the self-indulgent, the people whose love is waxing cold. Amen. But you want to be part of those who are becoming more fervent in spirit in the way that they serve their God. Because that group of people, that righteous remnant, is what's going to make the difference. And what is making the difference in this world right now. When God looked for someone to intercede, He found a people that are standing in the gap. Amen. For our homes, our families, our nation, our world. And in that act of standing in the gap, effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men and women, what happens? Nothing. No, it availeth much. I was at a pastor's meeting Tuesday before last. We got into the discussion. I had to bring up intercession. And one of the ministers said, with a broken heart, we pray so many prayers, we see so little answers. It's almost something we do professionally. It's something we just do, okay, we'll pray for you. And we do pray, but there's a different kind of prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a particular person, a righteous person. Someone who is not playing church, not playing games. Someone who is seeking the Lord. Can you say amen wholeheartedly and standing their ground? Hallelujah. To stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Availeth much. Can you say amen? There is a prayer that gets answered. There is a prayer that brings a manifestation from God. Hallelujah. Because there is a prayer that qualifies. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I was telling him what the Lord was saying and some of the things the Lord was doing. Amen. And when we got ready to leave, he pulled out to back out. I was waiting for him to move so I could move my car. And he pulled back in, rolled down the power window, leaned over to the passenger side and said, I believe that God listens to your prayer. And I said, thank you, Jesus. We're not going to give up on prayer. Because prayer moves this hand that we're talking about. Because prayer moves his heart. And when his heart is moved, his hand is moved. Praise God. And I'm expecting to see God move. Call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So if you want to join the ranks of the dismal, amen, cave dwellers, then you can't say that you were there. because you're still in there. But God's raising up a people. And if you'll come out of that cave, God will supernaturally bless you with strength, amen, to carry His message, His truth, to intercede. And God is going to send a mighty revival before the coming of Jesus Christ. And when that revival hits, according to Joel, it's going to touch our families. It's not just going to be healings and laughter and deliverance. It's going to touch families. The heart of the fathers are going to turn back. Come on, church. Are going to turn back to the children. And the heart of the children back. Can you imagine what would happen in churches when whole families come to God? Whole families come to church? Amen. When our kids want to worship with us? Hallelujah. And we love to worship with them. Can you say, man, hallelujah? How many want to see your children loving on Jesus? Can you say amen? Then get out of that cave. Get away from those negative people that say it's too late for God to do anything about it. Amen. The Bible said to take courage in your heart and fight for your sons and your daughters, your houses and your lands. Can you say amen? Quit you like men and be strong. Glory to God. Last week it was rejoice. This week it's recover what the enemy has taken. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pronounce a blessing because the word of God has been received into every good ground heart. I pray your blessing, Lord. And I pronounce, I decree this thing because your word has already said it and said it clear. Hallelujah, that fruit may come 30, 60, and 100 fold, that prayers will be answered, that mighty deliverances will occur, that divine interventions will take place. And until they come, that we will be strengthened supernaturally to hold our ground until it happens. In the name of Jesus and everyone that believes that God is that God of the impossible said, amen and amen. Well, let's lift up Jesus today. It's all in His name and for His fame. Praise God. Let's give Him praise before we leave.